You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
So last week we talked about pray. We opened up our series called Pray. And in that message series, one of the things that message that we talked about was that we need to pray big and pray specific, right? Pray big and pray specific. Did anybody pray big or specific prayers this week? Anybody pray any of those kind of prayers? All right. Did anybody see one of those prayers answered this week? Anybody? All right. Somebody did. I don't know where the voice is coming from. Lord is speaking to me. Now, you sound like a woman, God. I need you to toughen up a little bit. Toughen up. We don't do that around here. So we, that was Ola. My bad. Oh, don't be hiding and hollering. If you're going to holler, come out in the open. This week I was praying and I was trying to take some time to pray for my kids and you know, sometimes I get caught up in these very general prayers for my kids. God bless them, you know, God be with them and all the things that God already does. I'm praying, I guess I'm just kind of reaffirming God and just trying to help him. You know, I'm kind of like a nagging, person, just kind of nagging God, telling him all the things he's already doing. And so this week I thought I got to pray specific. And so I began to pray specific prayers for my children. I began to pray, you know, God, I just ask that you would not only speak to my kids, but you would give them a heart after you, a heart that would desire you. I pray that my kids would love your word and they would love to pray. And I pray that my kids would really desire to know you and that you would fill them with a prophetic voice for their generation. I just began to pray these things over my kids. And I prayed that one day and wasn't really thinking about it. And this morning, I wake Gabriel up, you know, and it's really early. It's like 5 something in the morning. I'm shaking him out of bed, and he's getting up out of bed. And he walks like an old man whenever he gets out of bed. You know, he's just like this, you know, maybe a drunk man, probably a drunk man. And he's walking like this, and his eyes are closed, and he's kind of bumping into stuff and feeling his way around. And he says, Dad, I said, what? He said, will you put the Bible app on my phone, on my iPad? He's got this old iPad his grandfather gave him. Will you put that Bible app on my iPad? And I said, like, the little kid's Bible app? And he said, no, the real one. He said, and make sure there's words in it so I can read it. And I said, I will, man, I sure will. And then he said, and will you go in my room and get my tithe? It's on my dresser. And so I went in his room, and there's a little plastic Ziploc bag, and it says tithe on the outside. It's got $2 in there because someone gave him a check for $20 for his birthday. And so I got his tithe and I got his iPad out and brought him to him. And it was like immediately, you know, my first thought was, oh, that's kind of cool. My kid, you know, is tithing and wants to read the Bible. And then all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit just said, hey, dummy, pay attention. You prayed specific prayers and I answer specific prayers. And God's doing something in my kids. I'm going to have to start praying for Colt, though. My prayer for Colt is, God, save him. Send someone else to be a witness to him because I'm not working. So we need some help. So today we're going to be talking about a different topic. Last week was big and specific. Today we're going to be talking about unity and how unity works within the idea of prayer. And it's important to understand because so often prayer becomes an isolated thing for some people, right? For a lot of us, we prayer becomes inward and it's only us, it's only about us. And then for other people, prayer is only about the big group. And so today we kind of want to merge those two thoughts together. I feel like it's important for us to be able to pray in a group, and I also feel like it's important for you to be able to pray by yourself. And we got to be able to have both of those things happening. As a matter of fact, I'm teaching on Wednesday nights. I'm trying to help. Sometimes we get in this mode of group prayer where it is silent prayer as though God is just going to read our thoughts. And I think he can. But I like to hear you pray. Let me tell you something. When I hear you pray, it does something inside of me. So for those of you that think I can only pray silently, can I just tell you today, that is a way to pray, but that is not the only way you can pray. And I'm not telling you you're bad if you don't pray out loud like me. I'm just telling you when you do pray out loud like me, then you help the other people around you to pray even better. I'll never forget, it's ingrained, it's burned into my heart, mornings waking up, hearing my dad praying in the other room, on his knees, praying for me, praying for my brother, praying for my mom, praying for our church, praying for his destiny and praying for his purpose and asking the Holy Spirit to fill him. I remember those prayers, and it did something inside of me. I remember being around other church folks and getting together to pray, and listening to other people's prayers encouraged me to pray even more. It wasn't a competition thing, like I said last week, although that does happen sometimes. It wasn't a competition thing, but it's like prayers encourage each other. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with my message. It's not my notes, but I think it's really good. So if you're not paying attention to this part, then you're really not going to get the rest of it. But I believe this. I believe the enemy is real, and I believe the enemy has a scheme or a plan to divide Christianity. He's got a plan to divide the church. And the reason is because he knows the words of Christ, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now that's true anywhere. That's true in your business. That's true in your job. That's true in your home. If there's division, in a couple, maybe in 2 months, we're going to be doing a message series called Sexual Healing, and in that message series, I'm going to do one message called Bringing Sexy Back, and one of the things I'm going to talk about that is sexy is whenever you and your spouse are on the same page. When you're on the same team, that's a good thing, because the devil knows that if he can ever break that bond, if he can ever separate and bring division into the house, then he can bring the house down, and not in a good way. Like, we always want to bring the house down, but not like that. And he knows to do that in Christianity. And that's why today we've got all this stuff going on to begin to divide the house. And we know that Jesus even prophesied this. Jesus said there would be 10 virgins. And the 10 virgins represent the church because they're getting ready to be married. And the church in the Bible is always compared to a bride, the bride of Christ. And so Jesus said there would be 10 virgins, but 5 virgins would allow their light to go out. The light is the word of God. So that 5 virgins would stray from the truth of the word of God. 5 virgins would be prepared. And it says that the 5 that were not prepared got left behind. When the bridegroom came, he took the 5 that were prepared. What's going to happen? The enemy is going to divide the church. And he's already doing it. He's using things in society. He's using things right now. I was telling some people this the other day. I said, I feel like a lot of what we see on the news right now and a lot of what we see on Facebook right now, I'm getting tired of Facebook, man. I'm going to tell you, if we could just post some scripture, post some good stuff on Facebook, I am sick and tired of people posting negativity all the time. Like, get a life, man. You need to post something good. I challenge every one of you, post something good on Facebook. Something good. So anyways, but you look on there, and it's like the enemy is a magician, and he's constantly saying, look at this, look at this, look at this. You know, that's what a magician does. The magician gets your attention over here, and while you're looking over here, he's doing something with this hand over here. And it's like we've got all this stuff going on, and the enemy wants us to look at this, and the whole time, He's imparting a plan into the church and into America to divide us. To divide us. We're having lines drawn. And it's become an idea that we even become enemies with other churches now. Well, those people over there, they're dead. That's a dead church. They're going to hell. You know, all those dead folks, they're going to hell. They don't pray out loud like our pastor does, so something's wrong with them. And, well, this church preaches on the Holy Spirit, and they talk about tongues, so something's wrong with them. Well, this church doesn't preach on the Holy Spirit, and they don't talk about tongues, so something's wrong with them. And well, that's just a big church. And those mega churches, they, you know, nobody likes a mega church, and God can't bless a mega church. And, well, that's just a little small country church, and God can't bless a little. I mean, we get in this in our brains that all of a sudden the other churches are the enemies. That's so brilliant of the devil. It's brilliant because what he's done is he's turned our attention to each other and we're not looking at him. He's doing this, and at the same time he's stabbing us here. We need to start paying attention. Other churches aren't the enemy. Now, I did just say Jesus prophesied other churches will fall away. They will abandon the truth of the Word of God. But can I tell you something? For us, we won't abandon the truth of the Word of God, but a lot of the stuff we differ on with other people has nothing to do with the Word of God. Like, some people get upset because I don't preach out of the King James Version of the Bible. Well, you know what? I'm going to preach out of whatever version I want to preach out of, but that doesn't make me mad at you because you do preach out of King James. I don't care what version you preach, as long as you preach the Word. Some people want us to, you know, that, well, worship's got to be a certain way. And that style of worship, then, look, it doesn't matter what style. It doesn't matter if you serve food in the church or you don't serve food in the church. It doesn't matter if you come up here in shorts or a three-piece suit. We cannot make the other churches in our city the enemy. Another way the enemy wants to divide us right now is along race lines. Race lines are being dug into the dirt right now. Right now in our nation, I'm going to tell you something, folks. We got to fight against that. And let me tell you where you fight against that the most. Right here. And right here. We think I got to fight against it by talking to other people about it. No, you fight against it by changing your mind. The Bible says we repent. That means you change your mind about a matter. Our church is going to be a church that loves all cultures. As a matter of fact, I'm really kind of getting tired of just white and black people. Like, we need to get a mixture in here. I was praying that, oh, we got Gidalee. We got the one Asian. We got to do better. We got to do better. Well, I'm talking about, we got some, okay, we're doing better. Okay, we got some Latinos. We got a Mongolian. See, there's got to be somebody we're missing. We need an Australian. Can we get an Australian? And I'll let them preach because they sound so cool, man. I wish I was, if I was Crocodile Dundee, I mean, this church would be huge, right? So, for all the wrong reasons. But I think it's important. The other night, we were in here in prayer, and we're praying, and I began to pray, and I believe it was a prophetic prayer. I believe it was something God put inside of me. I just began to pray for the nations, and I just began to pray that God would draw the nations into this place. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know who He's going to bring in, but I believe that God is going to draw in the nations because that's what heaven is supposed to be like. Heaven will not be white or black or Hispanic or whatever, Mongolian, not all Mongolian, but there are going to be some. It's going to be you. No, everybody, we want to go to Mongolia. Like we're going to do Ecuador next year, but we're wanting to go to Mongolia one day. And I believe God's going to do something awesome in Mongolia. And I believe I'm going to hunt with an eagle, right? Y'all going to set that up? I want a big old eagle on my hand. That's how they hunt in Mongolia. It's awesome. So anyways, I'm believing for the nations. Why? Because I believe in unity, and I believe unity is bigger than just what kind of Bible you read out of. It's bigger than just black and white. It's an idea that we are all equal, and we do love each other. And so we're going to get into that. I'm taking a lot of time. Let me just say this. 1 Peter chapter 5 talks about who our enemy is, and I just want you to pay attention to this for just a second. The Bible says this, 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. In other words, pay attention. Wake up. Stop looking at what you think the enemy is. Stop looking at the church down the street and start looking at what God's saying here. He says, wake up, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's looking for you. He's looking for you. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. In other words, what Paul is saying is there's a lot of people that are different. Look, right now, ISIS has just captured, I read on the news this morning, they think somewhere around 60 Christians in Syria. 60 Christians. And we're blowing Facebook up because a lion got killed. And I love lions, but can I tell you something? I love 60 Christians more than I love a lion in Africa. There are 60 Christians in Syria that will probably get murdered on some video, and ISIS is going to take credit for it. Now, are they the same kind of Christians as we are? No. They do things way different than we do them. But they're part of our brotherhood. They're part of our family. And we need to be praying. We need to be in unity. We're fighting these little squabbles about church size and about what somebody's saying or not saying. Meanwhile, people are being beheaded on a beach. And what are we doing? What are we doing? We're fighting about skin color, and people are dying on the beach because they're Christians. Can I tell you something? Christianity runs deeper than your skin color. Christianity runs deeper than your version of the Bible. Christianity runs deeper than your denomination. Christianity is a part of who you are. It's a part of your DNA. It's down inside of you, and it's open and ready for anybody of any race, any denomination to have. It's in here. It's not out here. We got to get that through our heads today. We got to get that and let it affect who we pray for and how we pray. The Bible says the enemy is looking for someone to devour. So let's see how we pray. Let's look at Paul's prayer for a minute. So last week we talked about the prayer of Paul. Today I want to show you one of Paul's prayers, and I want to show you one of Jesus' prayers. Paul prayed this in Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. It says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." That's pretty stout right there. He's saying that we need to be same attitude of mind towards each other that Jesus had. He said we need to be one mind and one voice. He says that whenever we do that, we will glorify God. In other words, division will not bring glory to God. Instead, division will turn people off. I'm gonna really try my best, and I don't know that I've done this. I know I've done it in the past, but I don't know that I've done this in the recent past, and that is not to speak negatively of other churches or other pastors. I may disagree with some other churches and some other pastors on certain surface issues, but as long as we're all in this word, I don't want to speak negatively of them. Why? Because I want to be of one mind, and I know that division within the church, it turns people off. And I want souls to get saved. I don't want souls to be turned away. One of the reasons people don't want to come to church is because they see hypocrisy. And we think hypocrisy is, well, we got, you know, so-and-so sitting on the front row. And you know, they're drinking a beer whenever someone saw them at Chili's last week. No, hypocrisy is when they come in and they don't see the love of Jesus Christ operating in your life. When you start, and I start speaking negatively about other Christians, and they say, well, if I'm going to be a Christian and they're going to speak negative about me, I don't want to be a Christian. I'll just walk back out. Right? So it's important for us to understand that. So look at what Paul said. Paul said, be of the same mind that Jesus had. So what did Jesus have? What was his mind about the matter? Well, he prayed a prayer in John chapter 7, verse 20, and it says, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message," talking about the disciples, "that all of them may be one," verse 23, "so that they may be brought into complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." I wonder what kind of world we would live in today had we operated in unity this whole time. Had we not allowed our denominational barriers, had we not allowed our surface differences to break us apart and bring division into the church, I wonder what kind of world we'd be living in today had we stayed in unity. Jesus says, if they'll be in unity, then the entire world will know that you sent me. In other words, people are going to believe in Jesus because of your unity and my unity. Wow, that's pretty stout right there. That really makes me want to rethink sometimes whenever I get upset at people, whenever I get mad at people and I begin to want to hold a grudge or I begin to want to hold on to something and I start thinking, am I in unity? Or is this the enemy trying to bring division into my home, into my church, into my workplace? What's the enemy trying to do here and how can I make a change? Because I know if I'm in unity with people, all of a sudden the world is going to see Jesus. So why should we pray for unity? Let me give you four things and then I'll shut up. It won't be long. Four things that you need to remember. I've got them in your notes already ready. You don't even have to write anything down, but I do have some lines down there if you want to take some notes, some extra notes. The number one reason that we need to pray for unity is because we desperately need each other. We desperately need each other. There's nothing more true to that statement than just coming in here and working on Saturday. If y'all left this up to me by myself, I would have electrocuted myself the first time I tried to hang an exit sign. That's why I desperately need guys like John and Marty that can come in and do some things that I cannot do. We desperately need one another. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Now, I don't think we have this translation for up here, but I've got it in the NLT. So just listen to it in the NLT for a second. It says, "Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other." Yesterday, as we were cleaning up, and there were some sheets of plywood out front. And I'm not saying this like, like, I'm this is going to sound like I'm bragging. I'm not bragging because plywood's not that heavy. But actually, it's probably my weakness that I had to do this. So I was going to pick up a sheet of plywood, but I didn't want to bend all the way over and grab it and try and pick up. So I just picked up the top and stuck my foot underneath it. And then I just kicked up with my foot and caught the plywood, and then I was able to carry it and take it around to the back. And as I'm walking around to the back, it's funny how I see sermons and so many weird things. As I'm walking around to the back, I begin to think about today's message. And I begin to think, it is so crazy how my brain told my foot to kick the plywood and then told my hands to catch it. And then everything worked in sync for me to be able to walk all the way around. That seems simple to most of us. But all of a sudden, it was like I began to think about how many different parts had to activate at just the right time, right? Had I not kicked that plywood at the right time or had not been holding it, I could have kicked it right through the window, right? But I had to, everything had to work in sync. And I thought, man, that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be doing. We should be doing feats. We should be doing works in sync. And whenever we are in sync, we do more because we desperately need each other to accomplish anything. We desperately need each other. There's a basketball term called a push-off, and they use it in football too. But maybe some of you will remember back to your junior high days, right? In junior high, now whenever you're in high school and really college, like you realize whether or not you can dunk. Like you realize whether or not you're good enough to actually get up in the air. But when you're in junior high, you think, I can do everything. Like my son is 10, and he asks me all the time, Dad, do you think I could dunk a 9-foot goal? And I'm like, son, that's ridiculous. There's no way you can dunk a 9-foot goal. Like, humble yourself. You know what I mean? Like, there's just no way it can happen. And so that's just my parenting style. It's not very good. And so, but I remember in junior high, the push-off, and some of you remember this, it's where you run up and there's a rebound coming, right? And then one guy grabs your shoulder, if it was done to you like it was done to me because I was short, grabs your shoulder and jumps and pushes you down and reaches up and grabs the ball, right? And so what happens? You get shoved down so that they can go up. Can I tell you what we do sometimes in church? Is we shove people down so that we can be elevated. We like to talk about how bad someone else is so we don't look as bad ourselves. Instead of talking about how bad somebody else is, let's just talk about how good God's using us. Let's talk about the good things that are happening in life. Instead of trying to focus on everybody else's negative, let's focus on some good stuff. Stop pushing off of other people. Why? Because we need each other. We need each other. Let's look at the next point. The next point is, so first of all, because we desperately need each other, we're going to pray for unity. But secondly, because the world will see God's love. We touched on this earlier. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Let me tell you what that word accept there means. In the Greek, the word accept is not just a one-word translation. As a matter of fact, it's more of a picture word, right? So it's multiple, it's like a phrase. And the idea, it gives you an idea. The idea is that you would receive somebody into your arms with an embrace. So when it says accept, it means I receive you into my arms with an embrace. Then it says you will walk hand to hand, right? You will walk hand to hand as a brother or sister would. I don't know, man. Let's look at that. It says accept one another. It doesn't say point out every difference. It says accept one another. Embrace one another, walk as you would with a brother or sister. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful because that's the way we need to operate. That's the way we need our prayer life to operate, that we are praying for people, we are seeking God's presence, we are in unity in what we're doing. John 13:34-35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. It doesn't say by your style of worship will people know that you're my disciples. It doesn't say by the size of your church will people know that you're my disciples. It says by your love for one another. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not even just our love for one another in here. It's our love for the people down the street. We must love one another. Now, you got to love each other in here, too. And I hope that we're cultivating an atmosphere to help you do that. We got small groups coming up in September. And I hope that that's another way for you to cultivate that atmosphere of love and respect and acceptance is whenever we start our small groups. And that's a big part of what we do here at Gateway. That's why we do that little party time. And people say, well, why do you do that? It's so dumb. Just, you're walking around eating apples or whatever it is we had today. It's because we just want to cultivate an atmosphere where people get to know one another and love each other. The third thing is this, because unity empowers prayer. If you want your prayer to be powerful and effective, like James said it should be, then what do you need? You need unity. Sometimes unity is that missing ingredient. Unity is that missing ingredient that you need to empower your prayer. Jesus said this, if you come to church and you've got a fault with another brother, he says, leave your offering right there on the table and you go make things right. In other words, Jesus says, unity is before worship. Wow. See, nobody's amen-ing me on that because it's a really good point, but I'm going to tell you right now, that is really good. That is really good. That Jesus would say, you come into church, before you put any money, before you swipe your card on that little iPad over there, before you raise your hands in worship, before you get on this stage and preach, you better go get it right with your brothers and sisters, because unity comes before church. Unity gives power to our prayer life. Look in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let me just show you something real quick. The Bible says, first of all, they were there on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was a Jewish feast that had to do with harvest time. It was a Jewish feast having to do with harvest, with in-gathering, the Bible says. And people from all over the world were in Jerusalem on that day because they were there for the feast. So we've got a group of people praying, 120 people praying in a room together, seeking God on the day of harvest, right? And so all of a sudden, I want you to see purpose in what's happening. God brings people together. Jesus said, pray for the harvesters, right? So he says, so he brings harvesters together on the day of harvest time, and these people are praying, and they need something that's going to help them bring in the harvest. And whenever they were all together, the Bible says they were all together. The Bible, the Greek there means one accord. It also means many parts of one whole. So they were all together working in sync, praying in unity, and as they do, the Holy Spirit comes on them, fills them, baptizes them, and then the next thing that happens is Peter stands up and begins to preach. And when he preaches, he's preaching to all these people in the street. And look at verse 41. It says, and those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine the power? Look, we're talking about 120 people here. We're not talking about a mega church. We're not talking about Gateway in Dallas. We're not talking about Church of the Highlands. We're not talking about LifeChurch.tv. We're not talking about churches that are 20, 30, 60,000 people strong. We're talking about 120 people praying in unity. And the next thing that happens is about 3,000 people got saved. Can you imagine what would happen if we began to pray and seek God in unity? What does that unity mean? It means with one mission, one heart, one direction. The Bible, God set them up for mission when he said, it's Pentecost. It's harvest time. Here's your mission. It's laid out before you. You've got a mission. Win souls. Reap the harvest. We got a day coming up, August the 30th. And we are inviting the community. I have just purchased over 5,000 postcards. They're going to be sent to all the surrounding homes in these neighborhoods, inviting them here on Sunday, August the 30th. Now, can I tell you something? If you want to see lives changed, be in one heart with one mission. I want to dedicate this building, but more than that, I want people to dedicate their lives to Jesus Christ. I want people to dedicate their lives to Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? What if I don't have a seat that Sunday? Well, then you get to stand up. But guess what? I stand up the whole time. So you can't too. Well, Pastor, what does that mean about parking? You may have to park down at the Diamond Store. You may have to park, you know, somewhere else and get someone to drop you off here. I don't know what it means, but if we would all be in one mission, and what happens in church a lot of times, what happens to us a lot of times, is we don't have the same mission. So when pastor gets up and starts talking about we want souls to be saved, we don't have that mission in our hearts. We've got the mission of I want to come here and get fed. Somebody feed me. You ever seen Little Shop of Horrors? Feed me, Seymour. Feed me now. Remember that? Some of you older folks know that. All the younger people are like, huh? We think it's about feeding me, but really it's about winning the lost. It's about changing people's lives. And when we get that down in our hearts and we all have the same mission, I believe we'll be going to 5 services. I mean, it's one of those things. It's not even about growing the church. It's about growing the kingdom. But it's all about you and I operating with the same mind, the same heart. The last point is this. And so anybody, Daryl, you want to come up wherever you are, my friend. The last point is this. It says, number 4, because we can do infinitely more together. We can do infinitely more together. Look at Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and 34. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. Let me tell you something. This is huge, because this idea of this church selling their possessions and giving it to the church so that the church could then redistribute those possessions out, redistribute that money out to people that were in need, that is something that is next level. Like, we're just learning how to tithe. These people have this concept of, oh, I've got property I'm not using. I'll sell it and just give that money to the church to give to needy people. Oh, I've got, 3 cars. I only need 2 cars. I'll sell one of them and give it to needy. I mean, it was like this idea is just, listen, and don't think pastor's preaching down at you today. I could get down on the floor and amen this part myself, because this hits me just as much as it hits anybody else. This is next level stuff. This is bigger than what we can comprehend sometimes. And I started thinking, how in the world could we even make this work? God, this is huge. And he began to show me family, that it's about family, that if we see each other as members of a church, then we'll never love each other and have the unity the way we need to have the unity. But if we see each other as members of our own family, then all of a sudden it changes our way we love people and the way we have unity. My brother-in-law is here, Jesse, and I tease a lot about Jesse, but in reality, Jesse's the most generous person I know. And it drives me crazy, because it convicts me all the time. But anytime I need anything, Jesse's like, I'll just leave the garage door open, just come get, my ladder, or come get my tools, come get my stuff, whatever it is that he's got, he's always allowing me to get them. And then Jesse will have like the other day, Jesse's out of town. Don't go asking him to do this, because I'm putting him on the spot. But Jesse was out of town, and he called me up, and he's like, hey, you want to get some of the guys together, a couple of guys together? Y'all can go play ping pong on my brand new ping pong table that he hasn't even played anybody on hardly. He said, go play ping pong on my table, and I did. And he said, oh, by the way, the door's unlocked. If you want to go in and watch my TV or get the guys, let them play video games. It was when we had Jeremiah here, and I was trying to get Jeremiah hooked up with some folks. And he said, go in and play some video games. And I've got some specialty root beers. And if you know me and Jesse, we like some specialty root beers. Right, Abita from Louisiana, one of the best. One of the best. Virgil's, very good. This stuff is expensive. Like you're talking about maybe $3-4 a bottle for root beer. This is root beer now. And Jesse's like, man, I got some root beers in there if you guys want to try them out and drink some of my root beers. And I started thinking, when he's telling me all this stuff, I'm like, what is happening? Like, if that was me, I'd be saying, if you want to go to my house, you can play in the front yard all you want. There's a water hose on the side if you get thirsty, right? And I'd be like, I've got a basketball goal, don't touch it. But he comes from another level of generosity, and I'm saying, God, get us to this level. I'm not asking anybody to sell anything and give it to the church. I'm asking for us to have the same heart that these people had, that they loved each other so much. And look at the most powerful thing about it. It says there were no needy people. Amen. We don't need welfare. I'm going to tell you something. Welfare is something designed by the government to mimic what the church already had. At the end of the day, because the church wasn't doing their job, the government took over. And I'm tired of that. At some point, the church has to rise up and do what we're supposed to do. There should be no needy people. We give, we love, we share, we have unity. Why? Because we have one mind, we have one purpose, we have one heart. We're going the same direction. Does the church down the street do it different than us? Yes, and thank God they do, because not everybody likes me. So somebody's got to go to church somewhere where they like the preacher. Let them go down there. We got to all be going the same direction. We got to all be winning souls. We got to all be winning souls. We're going to pray today. We're going to pray for unity. We're going to ask God to fill our hearts with unity. Give us direction. So I want you to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes for just a second. I've been talking about unity. I've been talking about family. And there may be some of you today that say, you're talking about family, but I feel like I'm outside of the family of God. And you know, maybe you've allowed yourself to be outside of the family of God because of the way Christians act, because of the way you've seen churches operate, and you didn't like that. And so you've allowed yourself to pull away and step outside of the family of God. Today, I want to offer you an invitation. The Bible says that we can all be adopted as sons and daughters with God as our Father. God desires you today. And the adoption papers that you sign and he signs were already signed by Jesus Christ on the cross. All you got to do is accept Jesus as your Lord today, and you can be a part of this great family that stretches throughout the world. If that's you this morning, you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ, you say, I want to be a part of the family of God. If that's you today, just slip your hand up. You can put it right back down. I won't embarrass you. I just want to see if anybody's like that this morning. Anybody needs that prayer? Let's all pray today. Why don't you pray this with me? Say, Lord Jesus, help us today to be of one mind, of one heart, and one purpose. Put it down inside of us a desire to win the lost and see lives changed. Help us to love and support other Christians around this world, and use us to change our community. Help us to pray in unity and for unity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm believing that this week, God is going to use you in a powerful way through your prayer life. I encourage you this week, find time to get alone with God and pray.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.